and policy development, and she's currently working with the California Convergence Policy, which involves seven initiatives representing 40 counties, and she's going to tell you about it. Julie?
All right, thank you. Thank you, Ellen. Okay, we just achieved the first major miracles. We got the PowerPoint up there, so I'm very happy. I'm really happy a few more people have joined. I'd love to see, and thank you for your question, Stefan. How many people here are from outside California now at this point? We have about four or five. Okay, and I want to acknowledge some other people in the audience, but we'll do that as we go along. So welcome. And, you know, in California, I feel like we're really, really fortunate to have some very strong and innovative and forward-thinking state policy advocates like the center. We have very strong and innovative and creative community leaders who are really willing to take risks and move a policy agenda forward, like Tanya. And there's actually a whole number of people in the room that are site leaders of communities doing very similar work. Let me just see a show of hands of how many people here are site leaders in California that are advancing food and physical activity policies. Can we just, I really want to acknowledge these folks because they are the leaders in the state and they are the ones out on the front lines doing the work. And partly why California has had the success that we've had is because of the dedication and sort of the passion and commitment of all of you and the folks that we have here. So I think we're really lucky. One of the biggest challenges with obesity prevention is that if we really want to see the health impact, which we know is going to be down the road, of this growing crisis that's continuing to grow, we need a comprehensive approach. We can't just change schools, or we can't just change vending machines, or even just menu labeling. There's no one approach that's going to make the difference. We actually, if we want to see the health impact, it has to be comprehensive. We have to be working across sectors at multiple levels. We need strong community leaders. We need strong state leaders. And one of the issues that's come up is how do you stitch all this together? There's many things happening in California. And what I'm really excited about is to talk to you a little bit about the California Convergence Effort, which is our attempt to start to pull these different pieces together in a unified way to build a strong movement that can accelerate and advance this change over the long run. This is not something that will go away easily. We're in it for the long haul. So let me just give you, I guess that's who I am. And, you know, I took out on my disclosure slide, I don't have any financial things to disclose. I stuck it at the end. But okay, here's what I'm going to go over, just a little bit of background. And then I want to talk to you about what we're doing. And the main point of this, I want to let you know a little bit about how we're moving forward, how we're trying to stitch these pieces together. And then really look at the opportunities for other states, so the four or five people in the room from other states. I think there's a lot that's happening in California that is transferable, that can be done, and I really hope folks are interested enough, we're happy to provide information and support on how this can happen, because no matter where you are, you need that comprehensive approach. You need to put together a lot of different kinds of people to build and strengthen this movement. And I think the more of us engaged in this, the better off we're going to be nationally. So it's very exciting. Okay, first of all, a little bit about the background of this. The California Convergence Effort grew out of the National Convergence Partnership, which is a partnership of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the Kellogg Foundation, the National Kaiser Permanente Community Benefits Program, the California Endowment, Nemours Foundation, and they're also working in partnership with the CDC. So this is a group. In 2006, they came together to talk about what they have in common is that they're all invested in environmental approaches or to look at the obesity epidemic and to say, what can we do about it? And they had the idea that maybe if we work together, we can be stronger, more effective than if we work separately. Well, coming out of one of those early meetings, Kaiser Permanente, the director of the National Community Benefits Program and the California Endowment got together, and it just so happens that their headquarter offices are in the same city now in Oakland, California. They said, you know, a lot of these same foundations have investments in California communities. What would happen if we brought those communities together? Would there be some benefit in linking people across these different initiatives? So they asked the question, And what they did is they asked our office, the Partnership for the Public's Health, to have a convening of these different communities of the people who are actually doing the work, again, as represented in this audience. Those folks who are working at the community level, to bring them together to say, is there a benefit to working across initiatives? In January of 2006, we brought everyone together. We had a day-long meeting where we really fostered people interacting with each other. The foundation stayed out of the room, so people had a chance to really talk about what the real issues were in doing this kind of multi-sectoral work. And at the end of the day, they basically said, yes, there is a real benefit to coming together. We want to do it again. But we want it to mean something. So what we did is after that, we said, okay, for the next year, we really spent having conference calls, talking to people, saying, what is it that you want to do together, and how can we be most helpful in that process? So here's what folks said they wanted. And if I miss the mark, I have half the audience could correct me, so I invite you to do that. Basically, what they wanted to say is they wanted to learn from each other in real time. Quite often when we have evaluations of initiatives, it's a couple of years down the road before results get published, before we can really say what works. But they know, because they're doing the work, that we can learn in real time so we don't have to repeat errors or reinvent wheels. The second thing, as they said, they wanted to build a sense of a common identity, because they're working kind of in parallel in different initiatives. And within each initiative, they may talk to each other, but they don't always know who's doing other things, and they know there's a lot of work going on. So they wanted help with this common identity and also help with communicating this environmental approach. This is really, I think, one of the biggest challenges we face, is that the default when you think about obesity is that it's an individual responsibility. Yet we know if we want long-term sustainable change, we need to change the worlds we live in to make those behavior the healthy behaviors the easy ones to do. And we're not set up for that. The other thing is they said, you know, we want to learn together, but we don't want to learn just for learning's sake. We want to accomplish something. So there's like no time to be wasted. These are busy people. They have very full agendas. They wanted to accomplish something together, and they wanted that to be some kind of policy change. They wanted to feel their collective, really muscle that they had together to make a difference. And then finally, it's this sense of feeling connected to a larger movement that people wanted. So those were sort of the top things that we felt people wanted. They also wanted to learn more about funders and foundations and things like that, and that's sort of been something we've tried to work on a little bit. Did I get it right, everybody? Yeah? So pretty much. Okay. There are some things they said they didn't want, and this was probably almost more important than what they did want. They did not want to create another structure bureaucracy, which blew out of the water all my initial ideas. It's, oh, great, we'll create a governing council, we'll have committees, and we'll all work in the different areas. And I'm like, uh-uh. It's like, we got too much to do. We don't want to plan. You know, you guys know how to plan. That's fine. But we don't have time for all that connectivity work. Whatever we did, it could not create additional work for them. What it had to be is a value added, so it had to add to their current workload, support the policies they're already engaged in trying to pass. What they basically told us is, if you build it, we'll come. We will teach each other, we'll share our tools, we'll share our stories, we'll learn, we'll ask questions of each other, but you got to build it. Don't ask us to engage in construction. I'm like, okay. And then, I don't want to go to committee meetings. Is there anything else? No, okay. So that's basically what our directive was. And I think we were very fortunate that in January of just this year, the Kaiser Permanente Community Benefits Program and the California Endowment funded the California Convergence effort. They said, okay, there's enough here. We'll fund it, and we'll fund our office to try to pull these pieces together and move forward and do what site leaders said. And what I really appreciate with this is that this is an effort that's driven by communities themselves. And I think our task to be held accountable for is to make sure that we are constantly listening, advocating for those community voices. So basically what we're trying to do with this is build synergy. And I think that's what people wanted, to feel that collective effort. The first thing we had to do is figure out, okay, who's going to be part of this convergence effort? There are certain things we can't involve everybody. Communities are at all different levels. So we picked out the criteria for inclusion, which included we looked for those communities that were focused on changing food and physical activity environments, first of all. The second piece was that it was place-based, so everyone had a geographic area they were responsible for and making changes in that geography. They were working concurrently in multiple arenas. And I think this is really important because I think when you're working across sectors, there are real issues and challenges involved that if you're only working on schools or only working in one arena, like with restaurants or something, it's different. It's hard to pull that together. And we wanted those people who are really at that cutting edge to get together and have a chance to exchange how they're doing that work. The focus had to be on policy change. And it had to be driven by a group of community leaders or organizations working collaboratively. So those are the criteria, and here's what based on that, we identified there were 7 different initiatives that were funded by 5 different funders, and then we also identified there's a number of communities that met all those criteria but were not part of these initiatives. So we included those. San Diego County Coalition is one of them that sort of grew organically from its own. It wasn't started by some funder. So what we said we were going to do, the next thing we had to do is define how we were going to work together. And I think, we were explaining this so many different times. I want to thank Michelle Silver, who is actually on our staff as the coordinator here. Say hi. Michelle came up with this sort of flow chart to help explain to people what the heck we're doing. What we did is the first 5 months of this project, we spent... We defined 4 areas of work, but what we saw is that while we needed to plan for these areas of work, we wanted to have it culminate with a convening of people after which all of these would be sort of intertwined and driven by policy priorities. So the first thing that we did is we set up sort of peer learning and looked at how to build a peer learning network to address that need that they said they wanted, and to really support current leaders in the field. We wanted that cutting-edge leadership exchange so people could help advance their strategies. Some of the peer learning tools, and again, I'm going to give Michelle lots of credit, we decided to use the social networking tool. The one we use is Ning. Other people might be familiar with things like WebEx or Facebook, things like that. We really wanted to experiment with using this in California as a way to build a network and for people to share current documents, tools, strategies to get conversations going. And that's getting up and running. It's sort of like a little rusty machine, but I think we're learning how to do that. And it's really exciting. I'm feeling less like a dinosaur every day, but we have a newsletter where we put together different, every month we put out a newsletter where we show people sort of policy successes in the state. We look at current research that's coming out. We look at funding opportunities, so we're always listing when foundations are making money available, and current events, meetings, trainings, things like that. We get that out to the whole state. And we have a number of other tools that are available to be deployed, like webinars, conference calls, and very sparingly, we could do some in-person gatherings, but that takes time and travel money, so we only do those rarely. The next piece, and this is an area where people said they wanted help with communicating this environmental approach. And this is one of the areas that I think really changed from what we thought it was going to be. Because when people first asked for that, we thought, well, we'll bring site leaders together with the communications experts. We'll have them craft, get some training on framing the messages. And then we'll craft some messaging that everybody can use across the state. And it's like, okay, that's a good plan. Well, the very first thing we did is when we started to talk to communications and media experts, they said, there aren't any magical words that you can just use and suddenly make the population or the policy leaders of the state understand environmental approaches. If you want to be effective, you have to have a policy target to direct people towards. We thought, okay. Well, then we thought, okay, well, with that, maybe what we can do is provide training on how to framing and messaging. And so the endowment has a whole training center. They offered a number of trainings, which we tried to do a few times. Some of the sites took advantage of that, but most of the sites didn't. And we thought, well, you want help with messaging, why not? And what people told us is that, we need this to be really relevant. Like, we know we could always use more training or our coalitions could use training, but we need it to be directed towards a policy target, and that's what's going to make it more meaningful for us. What they told us in the beginning, we don't want to just learn for learning's sake. It needs to be towards a specific end. So what we did is then we start thinking, as we looked at these different initiatives in the state, every single one had some kind of communications or media expert organization, attached to it that was providing support and was helping to guide and support the work of the local sites. We thought, well, what if we got these media communications leaders together to actually coordinate and maybe talk about common frame, and so that we're not the ones disseminating to all these communities, but that it would really bolster their thinking if we could come to some agreements on how all these experts are framing this issue that support this shift, then maybe we could really stretch this a lot further. So, and for this, I need to credit Jenny Miller on our staff. She's our communications person. She contacted every single one of these organizations, had a conversation with them, and really brought them to understand that, you know, there really could be a benefit if they got together and could craft a frame that was recognizable and common throughout the state across these initiatives. So what we've done, and now the focus in this whole arena, is we formed a communications work group. We're going to be exploring the research. I think Frameworks Institute's come out with a whole bunch of research that really applies to this. They're going to share each other's findings of working with communities, and they're going to start to focus on a statewide strategy. But once again, what they told us in those meetings, you need a policy target. So we said, okay, that's our next step, is it? Now we're facing what I think is really one of the greatest challenges, which is identifying, getting these 40 communities across the state of California, all that are working in different areas, to find a policy target that they can all agree on to move forward, to really feel that collective muscle. So what we did to do that is, prior to our first big convening, we surveyed all the policy leaders. And then what we did is, from the results of that survey, we asked them, what are all the policies you're currently working on, and what are the policies you think are most ripe for a convergence effort? So we got the results of that. We brought it back to the site leaders. Rather than just use those results, we invited, and about 20 community leaders came, and we had a discussion about what those results were. In that meeting, they really reshaped some of the policies. They reframed things. We did some adjusting. And what they did is, in that meeting, they came up with four specific arenas that they wanted to focus on. So land use, transportation planning, healthy food retail, safety, nutrition standards were the big ones. But again, these were like big buckets. This wasn't a specific policy. So we said, okay, that's enough. We can use that. And then what we did is, we planned a statewide convening. We invited not just the site leaders, but their coalitions as well, to come together in Sacramento. And this happened just last June. We used a process in that meeting. We called it a journey map, where we broke people into four different groups. We started the day with sort of this blank slate with just those four policy arenas. And we engaged them in really focusing and planning what were the specific targets in those arenas, what were the strategies, what were the next steps. By the end of a 1.5-day meeting that had 260 people, we actually came to some real strong agreement and consensus. They identified anywhere from 2 to 4 policy targets in each arena. They mapped out next steps. And again, some were stronger than others, and in one day you don't get to all the detail. But basically, the end result of this is, we ended up with 11 specific policy arenas. We identified, for all of those, state leaders who had a lot of expertise that could potentially provide support or state leadership. Even since then, we've had a tremendous amount of activity. What that meeting did do is, it stimulated a lot of people's interest, and it built connections. Things like, folks who were thinking about land use, transportation planning, suddenly got connected with climate change and started to understand that their strategies were also strategies needed to address climate change. And so we started to bring in, actually, there are groups that are now linking up with climate change people to look at, how do we strengthen this partnership and advance our efforts. Since then, one of the issues that was really lifted up that I think is important was safety. It's like every community is dealing with issues of safety. Since June, the Prevention Institute put on a webinar to help people sort of think about safety from a prevention standpoint, not just more police, but then how do we make communities safer. Let's see, there's activity on Ning. Michelle just reported to us that there's over 350 people signed up on this Ning network. We're starting to get some conversations going. There's some postings that are going, and we're really working hard to get that more active. Okay, 3 months after this focus, what we came up with, these 11 areas, we had an advisory group. We did have to form one committee, I have to say. We didn't do a lot, but we did form an advisory group to keep us on track and to keep us really grounded in what communities needed. And what they said is, you know, this is really exciting. There was lots of activity, lots of interconnections. Some communities were already inviting others. I know in Central Valley they invited Tanya to come speak actually about safety, to share what she's learning, because this is all kind of cutting-edge things for nutrition arenas. And they said, you know, we really need to focus even more. Our efforts are too diffuse across 11. So what we did is we pulled, but they didn't really know enough to make that decision, so we pulled together background information on all 9 areas. Two of those were federal strategies, and we know that's, we weren't going to focus on a federal level. Other people were doing that. So we focused on 9. And we developed criteria for selection. We looked at what's the political opportunity at both state and local levels. People wanted to pick something that had both state and local policy opportunities. We looked at health impact. We looked at whether there were support resources that existed in the state. It had to promote equity, and that it had to support the goal of convergence, which is really being inclusive of many of the sites. We actually, just 2 weeks ago, made a decision collectively across all of these sites to focus on 2 policy arenas. And I'm really pleased that one of them was more physical activity, one was more nutrition. So joint use agreements is one. The second one is the promotion of healthy food retail with a focus on small stores. And I have to say, in that arena, what's very exciting now is there's a conversation amongst some of the leading state advocates to find out what are the most successful strategies, what can we really support. Should recognize Lori True, who just came here. She's one of those leaders who's really helping us move this forward and bring forward what we know. Okay, so that's what we've done. And I have to say that at this point, some of the outcomes of this, you've already heard there's been activity, people are moving forward. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of interest in this, and I think a lot of goodwill, which is very, I'm really excited about, and I think that's what's going to last us well into the future. What I want to just talk about now are these, what I see coming out of this that is really applicable to other states and other arenas. So the first thing I just want to say is that I think it really is possible, and a lot of this is being propelled forward because I think we can increase our impact by stitching together local leaders with state-level advocates along with people from other disciplines we don't always work with. It's really important to do that. Obesity needs a comprehensive approach. There's no one agency that can do it alone. And there's no direct funding for this. This is across the nation. You know, there's some foundations that do fund, but there is no funding for a comprehensive approach. So we've got to figure out how to pull together our resources and leverage what we've got. I think the second thing is that what we're learning, and certainly what I've been very conscious of, is that this business of convergence needs to happen on multiple levels. In California, the California Convergence started with site leaders getting together, but what we really became apparent very quickly is that just bringing site leaders together and talking about what they needed was not quite enough. The communications organizations that support all these site leaders, we needed them to get on the same page. The state-level advocates, and this is where we're fortunate in California, they are already organizers, the Strategic Alliance. They've been meeting for a long time and mapping out this kind of future direction. So I think we're fortunate that that's in place, that state advocates do have strong relationships and are in agreement in the changes we need to make, relatively speaking. You know, I think within a general direction, we're all heading in the same direction, which is very exciting. But the convergence, it needs to happen amongst communications. Site leaders also said that all these evaluations that are going on, they would love to see us converge evaluators. And there were some initial starts with that. I think right now that's a little bit on the back burner, but the foundations are going to look at maybe in the future how to bring evaluators together and converge. And the final thing I think that's lifted up is that for convergence to happen across separately funded initiatives, funders need to converge. And I need to say that what I've started to figure out, what's the difference between convergence and just cooperating with each other and just planning? And what I think convergence has really meant is convergence is when people get together and make decisions together collectively that really represents their priorities and their peers. And that's different than just getting together and sort of sharing and moving towards a specific, that we can all agree on a goal. But when people collectively decide where they want to go and then develop their own plan for moving forward, that's when you start to see synergy. And I think that's what we're constantly trying to keep our eye on with this. The third thing that I want to put out, particularly for other areas, because I know a lot of this work is coming from community advocates, it's coming from advocates in different arenas, I want to say that I think local and state health departments, governmental public health, even if they're not in the lead now, they are absolutely essential for moving this forward. I mean, the one thing they do have is access to data and data resources that many folks don't always get. But again, even if they're not in the vanguard right now, this is the work of public health of the future. If they want to be relevant in addressing chronic disease, I think obesity prevention is the perfect window to look at chronic disease more broadly. That is the greatest burden of disease. And we have to start, governmental public health really needs to start transforming to be able to do this work well, and by engaging your local health departments, by engaging the state health department, if they're not engaged already, and many of them are, but I think doing this kind of partnering work is what's really key, and that's part of what's going to help transform public health into the future. My last comment that I want to say is that I think the business of converging community leaders is absolutely essential to creating environments that will support healthy communities. Community leaders know better than anyone how to make change in their community. They understand the politics, they know the people, they know the history, they know what's happening. It's hard work bringing communities together across sites, but it's absolutely essential because I think community leaders, they need that support, they need the support from each other who have this common experience and challenge. I really think it can accelerate change, and ultimately what I think is so important about this work is by understanding how to make changes in their environment and in policies, we're reinvigorating democracy in a way. We are reinvigorating people and supporting that commitment to our communities, to our collective responsibility, and our civic engagement in a way that's going to sustain us into the future. This is the kind of work we need to learn. And goodness knows right now we need a little reinvigoration of our democracy at this point. So I want to thank you very much. And I want to really acknowledge the staff. This couldn't have happened. Michelle Silver, who's here, Jenny Miller, Kevin Cloud, who I think wasn't feeling well today. I would have been here. But we've just had an amazing team of people, and actually Robin, who's here, who's just starting to join our team and help us with evaluation. We've got an amazing group, and I really want to thank them for what they've done because it wouldn't be possible without their support. So there's my disclosure, and here's our contact information, myself and Michelle, who's the coordinator for California Convergence. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to thank our panelists. They gave us some time for discussions. So those of you who can, please move forward. I know it's comfortable in the back, but it's nice to be a little closer. We have time for people to ask questions. Now, we only have one mic. We've got a mic up here. There's a mic in the back. So there's a mic for questions, and if people here have questions of each other, they need to come here to speak in the microphone. But do we have? Yes, go ahead. I wonder if anyone in the audience has had used some strategies that they think would be worth sharing with everyone else. Are there some strategies for change in the nutrition environment that we haven't talked about? Anything else you've done? Or any examples that you think are worth sharing? So you know what you're doing, but not everybody. Yes, come on.
For the last speaker, you mentioned something about one of your goals was, or one of the needs that was identified by the community.
love to...
Come on up to the microphone.
I'd actually like to invite one of the site leaders, because one of the things they talked about, wanting to build sort of a common identity and feel connected. Tanya, or is Aurora, or Michelle? Michelle, you want to address that? I think you can best say what was intended. To see of folks who are here, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've encountered with this in terms of working across sectors or trying to be comprehensive in your communities? And I think that was really well put, Michelle, that one of the challenges, how to help people see that all these different efforts are really connected and have a common goal. But are there other, what other challenges have you come up against? I think and
Julie, come on up here.
Well, I think I can. I mean,
this
I think
is being recorded.
Good point. I think the important thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the important thing to keep in mind is that while the convergence exercise or community, the community through the convergence project has identified these two priorities, the way we as a statewide organization view this is that on those two issues there will be collective activity across California, and at the same time all of the community efforts on the multiple other policies will be underway, as there will be continued work on state policy issues that are different from the two priorities that have been identified by the convergence, not to mention all of the work that's going on locally. And, which I'm sure is perfectly apparent to you, not living in the United States and not being an American, that, and I don't think maybe you are, and just have a charming Australian accent. If you are an American, I apologize. But what I was about to say is that if, in fact, there is a change nationally, that we will have an opportunity as public health advocates to engage the federal level in a way that in the last 8 years we haven't been able to engage them, albeit there will be no money federally for a very long time either. But as we all know in this room, you can make policy change without resources on occasion. So that while the priorities have been identified, there will be a collective effort around those priorities, and all this other work will continue. And I just would like to just ever so briefly state something that I don't think any of the four of us have said today, nor any of our colleagues locally, for those of you outside the state of California. We in California are very fortunate, and this goes to the resource question, very fortunate that we have funders that fund public health advocacy / policy work, and we are well aware that this makes us either somewhat unique compared to those of you in other states, or very unique.
Thank you. That was actually an excellent question, and you put your finger right on the hub of where I feel the tensions constantly and being pulled by both sides, which is that we need to do it all. I mean, and Stephen actually addressed that perfectly. We are doing it all across the state, across these communities. People are still engaged in their local work plans, whatever they were before. But these are the two areas that we're working collectively at, that we want to experiment. Can we actually work collectively? If sites weren't doing this, can they get on board with doing this? If they were only doing it lightly, can they prioritize it more? Can we feel that collective effort? And I want to say that, so I think that's where the desire for this is coming from, to see if we really can make a difference. And it's temporary, and it's experimental. But I think it's, you know, this is now. There may be something that comes up next year that will overtake this, that the partners all say, you know what, we want to shift and we want to focus on that. So I see this as ongoing. When you do something well, and I have to really credit, Stephen is very good at saying, you know, my experience in her amazing career has been that if you want to do something well, you need to focus and do one thing, do it well, and then move on to the next. And I think this is the convergence's effort to really take the wisdom behind that and say, okay, you know what? We can't get all 40 communities to do all 11 policies all at once. Let's just focus. It's just for now. And I have to say, this is an experiment. This hasn't happened on any state that I know of at this level. And the other thing I have to say on the resource question is that people are opting to do this. The foundations are not funding everyone to engage in convergence. And again, that's where we've tried to be very careful to make sure anything that we did is supporting the work that's already currently going on. So it's an experiment. I'm actually, you know, kind of holding my breath, but I think it's really exciting. And I think that we've got enough committed, passionate people that are really going to push this forward. And we can see if this collective action really can make a difference.
And if I may, again, for those of you outside of California, we've had an experience in the last less than a year, actually, calendar year, which I think well illustrates the potential of convergence. And that experience was around the policy of menu labeling. And the abbreviated story is, and I see, are you from New York?
No.
No, okay. L.A. Well, of course, I'm sorry. You just said you were from Los Angeles. New York City adopted a menu labeling policy. That piqued the interest of county supervisors in L.A., county supervisors in Santa Clara County. For those of you outside of the state, that's in Northern California, the city and county of San Francisco, and none other than the governor of the state of California. New York adopted the policy. Then the policy was implemented. There was legal action, all very relevant, but not to this conversation. Then the city and county of San Francisco adopted a menu labeling ordinance. LA County tried, but the LA County Council, the legal entity, said that the county didn't have the legal authority to do it. San Francisco passed an ordinance. Santa Clara County passed an ordinance. San Mateo County passed an ordinance. Now, the important thing to remember is that the ordinance was not implemented in San Francisco. It was not implemented in Santa Clara. It was not implemented in San Mateo. At the same time, there was a bill being debated in the California legislature. And the strongest opponents of a menu labeling ordinance, perhaps not surprisingly, was the restaurant industry. And the restaurant industry began to get very nervous about these localities that were adopting their own ordinances. And then we just fast forward to the enactment of a state bill in California and the governor signing it. We at the California Center for Public Health Advocacy and our colleagues at the American Heart Association and the American Cancer Society, we were the three statewide organizations that were working on the state policy. We don't think in any way that that bill would have been passed by the legislature and signed by the governor had it not been for the local action. So it's a very recent example of the power of convergence.
Mm-hmm. One thing too, and let me just speak to the importance of the criteria that the advisory committee put in place to pick these. They wanted a policy that had state implications and local. So with joint use agreements, which is a very local strategy, I mean, each local school, sometimes individual school and sometimes school districts, can pass policies to you know, open up their school grounds for multiple uses. But there were also some state levers that can help open the doors for local effort. And what we're looking at, I had a conversation, the California Pan-Ethnic Health Network, they've been looking at state policies or different regulatory strategies that maybe they could influence to support this. There was a policy that failed in the legislature last year, I believe, around joint use. Because California Convergence have now identified sites, have identified this, they said, you know, this might reinvigorate this. This might convince our legislators enough to tweak this bill the ways they wanted, reintroduce it, and perhaps we can get it passed because of this convergence effort going on. So that is the potential for this. And again, I think we're just looking at this. We're not pretending these two are everything, but everything else really is happening. And I think if we can just focus and do it well and then move on to the next. I'd actually be curious to find out what is happening in Australia around this. Do you? Since, are there policy actions and activities going on related to preventing obesity? You know, this is a global crisis. We know it's not just, we're not that unique.
I think we're second to you in the obesity studies. So partly that's why I'm here, because you have such a wonderful laboratory in the States, and so do we. Great concern about
Thank you very much. Are there other questions or comments? From the panel? No? Well, we're just about at the end, so I think we should congratulate our panel for their discussions. And the audience for your comments. So, go to the closing session. It should be a good one. And see you next year. Maybe we'll have more to say. Turned off.
We definitely need to know that the state and the county and public health are working together on the obesity.
You know Susan
Hitchcock? Yeah, MCAH. So MCAH is sort of leading that. And it's a CDC, City Mad Township Collaborative, National Collaborative. And one of the requirements was that it was a state public health.
Thank you. she goes after the one who writes the damnedest book. And I do this by her. It's like, well, give me a break.
Yeah. I'm thinking, what is it here? funniest part of the whole movie is at the very end, it's all the Americans are trying to get into Mexico. It's so funny. And the Mexican government doesn't let them in until the U.S. government forgets all of the loans and deals with them. And then they let the Americans go to the border. It's really funny. Yeah. It's not the best movie.
Huge part of the storm.
Testing.
Thank you.